This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillick. It was a scene of horror in Mexico after a 7.1 magnitude earthquake struck yesterday, killing at least 200 people. That's a number officials expect will rise. Dozens of buildings collapsed in Mexico City, and residents scrambled to dig through the rubble afterward. The quake came less than 2 weeks after an 8.1 magnitude quake killed at least 100 people in another part of the country. It was also the anniversary of the devastating earthquake that hit Mexico in 1985. Dudley Althaus is a reporter for the Wall Street Journal's Mexico Bureau, and he's on the ground in Mexico City.
There's about four dozen buildings that have collapsed in Mexico City. Many of them are like multi-story apartment buildings, and many of those kind of pancaked down. They just collapsed upon themselves, floor upon floor. We don't know how many people are still trapped in those buildings, but we assume a number of them.
Mexico City is a city with lots of experience with earthquakes. Were they up to code? Is every building up to code?
Well, you know, that's the thing. We've been saying for years, since the 1985 earthquakes, those of us have been here, we've had a number of earthquakes since, of course, and we haven't had that much damage. This is the most devastating earthquake we've had in 32 years. People used to say and kind of like comfort ourselves saying that anything that was going to fall down fell down in 1985. Tuesday proved that wrong. We don't know whether they were up to code. We assume not. And many of the buildings seem to be older buildings, say from the 60s or even the 50s, in neighborhoods that were developed in those days. It was very capricious. I mean, one building would fall and the buildings next on either side of it were okay. So you would assume that it's probably a code problem. Having said that, a prestigious university in the southern part of the city had major damage to it and had four dead at that university. You would assume that building codes were up to par.
So as the sun came up on the second day after the earthquake and recovery efforts were going on all over the city, what did that look like?
The amazing thing is that a lot of people in Mexico City, neighbors, volunteers from everywhere just poured out and been working all night, helping soldiers and security forces to clear the rubble and look for the dead or the living.
Many of the neighborhoods, Dudley Althaus, that were devastated this time around had rebuilt after the earthquake 32 years ago, and the residents there seem to be experiencing some of this horror all over again.
That's correct. One building collapsed a few blocks from a large major hospital that was totally destroyed in 1985, right behind there. That neighborhood, it's a working-class neighborhood in south-central Mexico City, got hit hard again. We're going back out there today. The neighborhoods that got really hard hit, called Condesa and Roma, very close to Chapultepec Park in the heart of the city, had become in recent years, in the past 20 years, had really become a very gentrified and millennial or yuppie-ish sort of neighborhood. Very trendy bars, restaurants, the place to go out to eat, you know, the best new restaurants in Mexico City, you know, and they got hit very hard. And we're just now still assessing the damage in those neighborhoods.
And there was another huge earthquake southeast of Mexico City in Oaxaca and Chiapas. Are these twin disasters straining the ability of Mexico to respond, or is emergency response and sort of the more chronic response that's required afterward doing okay there?
Well, that quake was 2 weeks ago, September 7th, off the coast of Chiapas, down towards the Guatemala border. And yeah, it killed at least 100 people and caused widespread damage in the states of Chiapas and Oaxaca, among Mexico's poorest states, heavily indigenous states. And the relief effort for that earthquake had really been ongoing. And, you know, there's all sorts of like collection points for people to donate food and clothing and everything else for the southern Mexico, all over Mexico City. Those efforts are now going to be turned towards Mexico City. Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto, in fact, was on his way flying to Chiapas, I think, yesterday. When the earthquake struck, he was just about to land in southern Mexico to supervise the recovery efforts from that earthquake when they turned the plane around and came right back to Mexico City. the president said last night that he assured the people in southern Mexico that they're not being forgotten, but that the attention is going to turn to Mexico City for right now. Whether it's going to strain the capabilities of the Mexican government to respond to this, we'll have to see. I think that Mexico, since the 1985 earthquake, has gotten a lot better at civil protection, about responding to natural disasters, and about realizing what it's going to take.
Dudley Aldhaus, you were in Mexico City when the shaking happened. What was your experience? What did it feel like?
Well, we were in the office. We had just come, you know, this earthquake on Tuesday happened exactly 2 hours and 15 minutes after we had a earthquake drill, which they do every year to commemorate the 1985 earthquake. So that drill happened at 11 a.m. local time, and at 1:14 p.m. is when this earthquake hit. So at 11 a.m., most of Mexico City, everybody in Mexico City for the drill left their homes, left their offices, went into the street, preparing, practicing what you do in an earthquake. 2 hours later, the alarms went off again, and we don't know how many people just considered that a second drill and might have blown it off or did it again, but it was uncanny. We're all kind of freaked out that this happened. This earthquake hit about 32 years and 6 hours after the 1985 earthquake. The 1985 earthquake was a watershed moment in Mexico's psychology, political psychology and social psychology. It really galvanized civil society because the government response was so poor. People dug out the rubble themselves and just really kind of banded together. You saw the same thing happening yesterday and overnight last night.
Well, Dudley Aldhaus, you've lived in Mexico City, as I mentioned, for 30 years. How is this event affecting your sense of the city and your place in it?
Well, I mean, this is a very resilient city, and as bad as the earthquake looks and as bad as it was, this is a huge city. You have 44, maybe 45 buildings that collapsed in a city of tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of buildings. It's bad. It could have been much, much worse. The 1985 earthquake killed, you know, official figures say 6,000. Other figures go up to 10, 15 higher of thousands of people that died in that earthquake. This is bad. It's tragic, but this is a very recoverable moment. I think that this is going to galvanize people a little bit. I think that the fact you see these thousands and thousands of volunteers that worked all night clearing rubble, I think that has an impact on civil society here.
Dudley Aldhaus with the Wall Street Journal in Mexico City, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Todd.
We want to get some more perspective now on this disaster, on Mexico's preparedness, and on the road ahead for that country. We turn now to Jorge Guajardo. He was Mexican ambassador to China from 2007 until 2013, and consul general to Mexico in Austin, Texas from 2005 until 2007. Ambassador, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
Well, no country is ever fully prepared for the dual earthquakes that Mexico has experienced over the last week. What has preparedness looked like in your country, and how are people coping?
Todd, I'd venture to say that few countries are as prepared as Mexico for earthquakes. It's unfortunate that we had a massive earthquake in 1985, same day, an earthquake that shook the country then, literally and emotionally. Ever since, Mexico has been preparing for earthquakes. We have massive drills every year. People in Mexico City know what to do when this happens. Everybody knows how to act, where to go, how to volunteer, and that thought is very important. Everybody in Mexico City is volunteering in droves. And it's not as intuitive to volunteer in times of earthquakes. You got to know where to go, what to do, what role to assume, what to bring. And in Mexico City, everybody seems to be knowing, so that is helping, and that is bringing the country together in such a terrible moment.
So what you're suggesting, Ambassador, is that people across the country, certainly around the huge metropolis of Mexico City, are prepared not just for the moment of the shaking and what to do, but also how to react in the hours and days afterward.
That is true, and that is very important. See, there are many things that you may not know, but for them, is absolutely intuitive. You don't smoke because there are fears of gas leaks. You bring water to wherever people are rescuing because people dehydrate very quickly as they're trying to pull out the rubble. You bring folding tables that serve as stretchers for pulling people out. One of the things that happens in these cases most often is you lose light, electricity in Mexico City, so there are no street lights working. So people start directing traffic. Volunteers start directing traffic. They know to leave the roads open for emergency vehicles. People in Mexico City know what to do, know how to react, know how to volunteer, know how to chip in. And that has been the one positive sign in all of this.
We also saw images on social media, Ambassador, right after the quake, of hundreds of people running to sites of buildings that had collapsed or partially collapsed, removing rubble with their bare hands.
See, that's the one thing. See, for instance, people know to bring buckets to these places because they use the buckets to collect the rubble, and then they form human chains to start removing the rubble. So that's right. People run to the rescue, and I was just, I mean, I'm in Washington, D.C. right now, but I've been all day on the phone talking to people in Mexico, how up to the quake struck at around 2:15 p.m., everybody started volunteering. By around 7 p.m., the army was deployed. The army has an emergency plan precisely in case of earthquakes. They were deployed, and still the people wouldn't go away because they knew the army would tire as well just because they're humans and it's such a massive task. So people hang around and they start refreshing, and those who can bring food or prepare food for the rescuers. So everybody knows there's a role for them to play. Everybody's playing it.
So that's largely people in the street, Ambassador, and people who know how to react. What about the professionals and emergency response? Often in huge cities like Mexico City, emergency response might be quite good, lots of drills, very prepared, and lots of resources. The quake last week, part of it was centered in Chiapas, the poorest state in Mexico. What has disaster response looked like there?
So unfortunately, you're right. The earthquake last week did hit some of Mexico's most impoverished regions. I do believe there was a good response, but probably just because it's not the capital, or probably there aren't as many news outlets covering the event as there are in Mexico City, just because it's the capital of the city, it doesn't get as much attention and people quickly forget it or put it behind of their minds. I would say the Mexican government has been very proactive in reaching out to these communities and trying to help. Unfortunately, they are not as present just because they tend to be more marginalized. They're not in the capital city that has all the media coverage that comes with being a capital.
Ambassador Jorge Guajardo, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having me, Todd.
Ambassador Jorge Guajardo was the ambassador from Mexico to China from 2007 until 2013.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.